We've been studying the life of Elijah, and an easy way to remember Elijah and Elisha is that they served in alphabetical order. J comes before S, and it won't be too long until we see Elijah's ministry is about to come to an end, and we're going to see him go be with the Lord, and Elisha is going to take his place. Folks, we just need to be there so that when God takes somebody home, we can fill the gap. Amen? Brother Leo was a faithful, faithful servant in our school. Every day except Friday, he was here, and he's gone to be with the Lord. Somebody could take his place. Amen, Michelle? Amen. Michelle teaches over half the students in our school, and that's just because she's so good, so we don't worry about that too much. But she could use some help. Maybe you're the one to do that. Amen? You say, well, what's that old saying? When you serve the Lord, the wages might not be that great, but the retirement plan is tremendous. Amen? 2 Kings chapter 1. I get excited about this story for several reasons. I like to see God work. Amen? I like to see it when God does things, and he's going to do some things. And he's going to do some things in the life of Elijah to take care of him and to protect him. Folks, God protects us. And I was meeting with Alex over in his house a few weeks ago, and he was telling me he had some trials in his life. And after he got saved, right away, God took care of him and solved some of his problems. And I was glad to hear him say, God did it. Amen? So you say, well, poor old Elijah, he's defenseless. I think you'll see otherwise here in just a minute. Now, there is a man in this passage. We met him in a prior message, and his name is Ahaziah. He is the king of Israel. And don't forget, we are in the divided kingdom. In other words, the northern 10 tribes, they're called Israel in the Bible. The southern 2 tribes are called Judah. And so there's a king of Israel and there's a king of Judah. And so in the Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, it's just a history of the kings of Israel and Judah. And then Chronicles tells the same story again. And I won't get into why there's two accounts or why they're different. Some people say it's God's, a man's view and God's view. I don't know, but we're going to stay here in Kings, 2 Kings. And we're going to meet this man named Ahaziah a little bit better. And going to see something. Now, I just lay it out here on the table for you so you can hear it, and then we'll look at it as we go through the message. Do you know what a backup plan is? You know, when you're on a big ship, in case the ship sinks, they got a backup plan. The backup plan is the lifeboats. And, you know, when you're in a building in Maryland, I'm so glad it's not that way here, but in Maryland, in our church, in case the building catches on fire, they got a backup plan. Sprinkler systems everywhere. Three times, we had a sprinkler pipe freeze and bust and flood part or all of the auditorium. I asked the insurance agent, tell me truly, do insurance agents deal more with sprinkler systems saving buildings from fires or more with sprinkler systems tearing buildings up with water? He said, oh, definitely tearing them up with water. We deal with that all the time. And so anyway, they had a backup plan. If there's a fire, there's a sprinkler system. If there's the ship sinks, there's a lifeboat. Ahaziah thought he had a backup plan. You say, well, what's that all about? Well, you remember this. Ahaziah was not a godly man. He did not see God as the one that he served, as the one that he trusted, as the one that led him. He's kind of like we heard this morning. He subdued God. God was silent to him, and he shunned God. He had a backup plan, and his backup plan is named here in verse 2. It is Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. He's got a false god. You know, people still do that today, too. Well, if serving God doesn't work out, I'll do this instead. Well, if I pray and God doesn't answer, then I got some other alternative. Well, Ahaziah was so far from God, he knew in his heart, or at least he thought he knew, that God wouldn't listen to him. By the way, he was wrong. But he thought, there's no point in going to God. I've been so wicked and I've served other gods so much. There's no point in going to God. I just as well go somewhere else. I just as well go ahead and use my backup plan when I get in trouble, which he did, and which we will. We will have trouble in our life. You're quite quiet, I understand, but we do. And when you have trouble in your life, where do you go? I hope so. He didn't. And his backup plan that he thought he had didn't come close to working. Folks, there is no backup plan. There's God. Amen? And I'm not just talking about salvation. If I was to come to anybody here and say, you know, how do you know you're saved? I think all of us would quickly answer, Christ died for my sins. And I trusted him as my Savior. I called on him. I asked him to save me. And he promised me if I'd call, he would save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. There's no backup plan for salvation, is there? You're not gonna get to heaven. And, oh, if you're not saved, you might try something else. It's too late then. And nothing else works anyway. Now, there are religions in the world that treat Jesus as one of many gods, and they put him on a shelf with their other gods, and, you know, if this god doesn't work, they try that god, and if that god doesn't work, there's just one god. You know, so you can have all the supposed backup plans, but I want to tell you something. Trusting God, what that means is he is my only plan. He's the only one I'm trusting in. If God does not deliver me, I won't get delivered. It's not, oh, well, I've got my money. Oh, well, I've got my job. Oh, well, I've got this, I've got that. No, it's God. So what you're going to see, and I love this story. I'm sorry for Ahaziah. He's going to die, by the way. I'm sorry for him, but I love the story because what it shows is how strong God is. And how God does respond. And if you want to contrast two people here in this story, if you want to pick two people to look at, compare Ahaziah to Elijah. Because Elijah trusted God. And in fact, Elijah says a couple of times, he says, if I be a man of God, and then he asks God to do something for him, and God does. So Elijah didn't have a backup plan. He just had God. I'm not saying not to be wise. I'm not saying not to save any money or not to have any insurance or anything. But what I'm saying, if I can make it real clear, is this. I hope you trust God so much you don't need a backup plan. Make sense? In other words, you say, well, what if God doesn't deliver? Folks, God delivers. He may do things differently than you expected. And I like the way that the Hebrew children said it back in the book of Daniel. They said, O king, you know, we know God's able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. We have no doubt about that. Now, we're not sure what he's going to choose to do, but even if he chooses not to deliver us, we're not going to bow down to your gods. We don't need a backup plan. God is our plan. And the king looked in the furnace after the men threw him in, and those men died because the furnace was so hot that when they got that close, it killed them. And they looked in the furnace. They threw three of them in. And there were four. And the king says, didn't we throw three men in the furnace? He says, I see four men in the furnace. And he says, the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Yeah, I think so. They didn't need a backup plan. They had the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's read this. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. It's a little bit long. Bear with me. I'm going to begin in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to go down to verse 18, which is the entire chapter. So bear with me. It'll take a little bit of time here, but it's worth reading, and we'll have a word of prayer. Then Moab, verse 1, rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there's not a god in Israel that ye go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, unto King Ahaziah, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he, that's Elijah, sat on the top of a hill. And he, that's the captain of the 50, spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he, that's the king, sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus saith the king, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto him, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he, this is the king, sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, this is Elijah talking, thus saith the Lord, it's the third time you've heard that, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there's no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died, according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles, the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we have a God. Thank you that we don't need to go looking or seeking help from the world or from all the philosophies and the materials and the strengths that the world seems to have to offer, but that we can trust in you. And God, thank you tonight that there is a God in our life, that we have a God that we can turn to, and that he's a God that's 100% dependable. And Lord, tonight, as we look into this message, help us to stop for a moment and ask ourselves, are we doubting you? Are we doubting your power? Are we doubting your willingness to help us? Or have we lived in such a way that we don't feel like we could come to you with our problems? And help us to see that the way we approach you is going to affect the way you deal with us. And it's not that you could not save Ahaziah, but you have allowed us to see his life as an example so that we can learn not to go elsewhere, but to come to you for help. Bless us tonight, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We use a word in our language. We use the word accident. And the truth of the matter is, in verse 2, you got to ask yourself the question, do you think maybe the reason Ahaziah fell down through the lattice was all part of God's plan? Now, we could talk about this all night. You know, somebody asked the question, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, why did Job, who God called a perfect man, why did he have such trials in his life? And it all comes back to that verse where the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So God may choose to allow some of us to go through trials like Job did so he can be glorified, but that's not commonplace. Job is really one of a kind. But there are people in our church right now going through trials. Eva Ebersole's been laying flat on her back now for, 5 months? And a horrible trial. And I suspect, as we've been praying for her, that when God raises her up, she'll come back to our church and she'll say, God took care of me. And if you've ever met anybody, I know a story about a man. He worked in the railroad yard, and a train crushed his legs, and he lost both legs. And this is a long time ago. And he told the story. He said, you know, I was away from God, and God saw fit to take care of me. And do you know what? I'm glad God brought me back to him, even though it cost me my legs. So whatever it is that happens to you, we trust God. I think the truth of the matter is Ahaziah fell down long before he was on that lattice. And what's the king doing on a lattice anyway? And you know what a lattice is. It's something that's not very sturdy. I don't want to get too carried away with symbolism here, but that's almost poignant. When you start trusting in things other than God, you're climbing around on a lattice. You're likely to fall. And God's a rock, and he can hold us up. So you get your life into that lattice zone where you're trusting in something else, and you're hoping that that's going to be there for you. And nobody in their right mind would climb around on a lattice. How many of you have ever fallen through a roof before? Anybody here? Okay. I never have. It scares me to death to climb around in the attic, because I know something. If you step on the wrong place, you're going through. Well, folks, if you trust God, you won't fall through. There's no weak places with God. Amen? The devil's going to lie to you and tell you there are, but there aren't. So Ahaziah has fallen through this lattice in verse 2, and he's sick. He's been injured. He's wounded, and it's grievous, and he knows his life is in jeopardy. In other words, a great, great, what's the word I want to use here? It's a great danger, a great tragedy, a great problem is a good enough word, has come into his life, one that can destroy him. And there are problems out there that can destroy you. Now, when those great problems come along, you need to turn to God. Amen? He didn't do that. And I already explained to you, I think I know why. I think he knew he'd been wicked. He didn't think God would answer him. He didn't think it was worth taking time to ask God for help. Folks, I'm not telling you to live the wicked life and then just get ready to go to God. I know there are times when wickedness can separate us from God. But folks, whatever your problem is, go to God. Don't have a backup plan. Oh, if God doesn't work, I'll do something else. Because God's not going to let that happen. So here we go with his situation. He responds to his problem by going to another source, this god of Ekron, Beelzebub. And so now, the first thing we're going to see here is how God responds when Ahaziah fails to come to him. And even though Ahaziah failed to come to God, God went and found Ahaziah. And I've already mentioned this, but I'll say it again. We need to have a God. Twice that question is asked. Why would you inquire? Why would you go somewhere else? Don't you have a God? Isn't there a God in Israel? Is there a God in our life? Why would you go somewhere else? Why would you? And folks, I think it's a wise thing. I believe the Bible. What can God do? He can take care of us. Say, oh, Pastor, you don't know the situation. It's just terrible, and it's just so impossible. Nothing is impossible to God. And no, you don't think that. I could tell story after story after story I told you the time that in Maryland that a man walked into my office and he said, I've got quite a lot of money and I have not been serving God with my life. This man was, he was retired already almost. He was in his 60s or 70s. And he said, so I've got something here for the church. And he handed me an envelope. And I said, well, you know, I don't ever handle money. I said, just give that to the ushers. He said, no, you need to see this before we do anything else with it. Open the envelope. And said, open the envelope. And there was a check in it for $500,000. $500,000. Can God do that? God got $500,000? Oh, yeah, many times over. He would rather have us trust in him than trust in money. And so most of the time he keeps the money until we need it. Just like a good parent would. But God can do things like that. And God knows when we're going to need something. And so you need to have a God. When you fail to come to God, it's because what? You didn't think he'd answer. You didn't think he could answer. You didn't think you deserved an answer. No, he's our God. And by the way, stay right with him and you won't have that problem. And so in verse 4... and then again, in verse 6, there's some really chilling words. Now, you got to like Elijah, but this is a hard message to give somebody. And sometimes God asks you and I to give people hard messages. I would like to be able to go to people and say, everything's great. You're doing great. Let's live your life the way you want. You have nothing to worry about. We're all going to go to heaven. No, there's a truth. Amen? We need to receive Christ as our Savior. And sometimes we have to tell people some things that are unpleasant. Elijah comes to Ahaziah, and he says in verse 4, thus saith the Lord. And folks, if God said it, that settles it. And we're fools not to repeat it. If God said it, let's repeat it. And so Elijah says to Ahaziah, thou shalt not come down from that bed, but shalt surely die. And then again in the end of verse 6, thou shalt not come down from that bed, but shalt surely die. And then, just in case you don't know that that's the truth, verse 17, so he died. God told Adam and Eve, in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. The devil said, you'll not surely die. You're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil. And anytime you see something in the Bible and then someone comes and tells you it's wrong, just remember, the guy that started that was the devil himself. Just don't listen to that. I believe the Bible and... Elijah had a hard message to give this fellow, but it really comes back to this. You ask yourself, I think this is pretty obvious. If Ahaziah had gone to God, would this story be the same as it is? I don't think so. The very fact that we would get a problem in our life, when trials come into our life, I think a lot of the time, I know a lot of the time, it's just God trying to get us to turn back to him. And, you know, if your life was nothing but smooth sailing and all the money you needed and you never got sick and you never had family problems, you never had any money or any other kind of problems and everything was always easy, pretty soon you'd just relax. But, you know, when you, it's like in the Army, when we liked it, when everything was easy, you know, you could stand outside and roll your sleeves up and enjoy the sunshine or stand in the shade if it got too hot. But you knew something. Somebody was going to be shooting at you. And so we wore a flak jacket. They're heavy and they're hot. And the Army, for some reason, always goes someplace that's either too hot or too cold. I don't know why, but they find those two places and go there. And you're hot. Oh, it gets worse. Then you got to put a gas mask on. Wow, that thing's really hot. Oh, then you got to get inside this big metal vehicle. Those things are hot. Praise God, some of them have air conditioning now, but most of them didn't back when I was in the Army. And say, well, why would you be uncomfortable and all buttoned in like that? Because it's a dangerous world out there. And there'll be times when you'll get uncomfortable because it's a dangerous world out there. You need to have God. You need to have something to protect you is what I'm trying to illustrate in a roundabout way. But he didn't go to God. And when you don't go to God... God might deal with you differently. I think he did in this case definitely deal with him differently. He didn't go to God, and so God says, you know, since you went to another God, you need to understand something. You're going to die. You could have come to me. How many people, this is chilling to even think about. How many people are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I was a good Muslim. I was a good whatever. I was a good Buddhist. I was kind. I was nice to people. I never did hurt anybody. I never killed anything. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And it's, so there's a picture of salvation here in that sense. When you go to the wrong place, you don't get the result. Go to God. Amen? I think we got that one down. So let's look at the second one. So God's response when we fail to come to him, we've seen. What about God's response when we underestimate him or his power? Now, that starts in verse 10. Actually, verse 9. The king sent a captain, and this fellow's a military man, of 50 with his 50. And 50 soldiers versus the unarmed prophet Elijah. If the people that take bets would have been taking bets that day, most of the bets would have been on the army. You have 50 fellows, and they've got swords, and they are trained, and they are able to exert their force. And you got Elijah, and what's he got? Yeah, we'll see. You think maybe the situation is bigger than you are? What's God got? Amen? And if you're on God's side, that's what you've got. And that was exactly what happened here. But the king thinks, I'm not liking this message that Elijah sent to me, and I want to talk to that man. Bring him to me, and we're going to show him a thing or two. And you remember earlier, Elijah has already been threatened with prison and so forth for telling the truth. And the king says, I don't like that message you gave me. Bring this man to me. I'm going to show him the way things are. Sends 50 people out there. How does God respond when people underestimate his power? Well, in this case, I can't tell you he always does this, but in this case, you see the story in verse 10. Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God. Let's just stop right there. Are you and I men and women of God? Amen. Ought to be. Amen? And interesting that the fellow even used that title, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. I almost think he might have been mocking him. You say you're a man of God, but the king sent 50 soldiers. Let's see who's stronger. Okay, let's see. And it's sad. These fellows had wives and children maybe, and they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, that's for sure. Elijah in verse 10, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. Man, I don't need to read the rest of the verse. It did. Folks, the second part of the story is just as poignant because it seems like Ahaziah has a hard time learning lessons. Well, it didn't work that way. Let's try it again. Have you ever done that in your life? You know, you did something that God said not to do or didn't do something God said to do, and it didn't work out at all. And so you think, well, let's try it again. Maybe it'll work the second time. Greg will tell you he works on things. You know, when the plumbing is not right, you can try it 100 times, it's still going to leak. You know, when you got the wrong part and you put that part in the car still isn't going to work. You can try as often as you want. God's just going to be there until you get it figured out that he's right and you're not. And so the king says, well, let's try this again. In verse 11, maybe there was something bad about those 50 or whatever, I don't know. He sends 50 more. And they're just as arrogant as the first. Oh, man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. We're not going to put up with this. You come down and we're going to take care of you. You're going to come see the king with us right now. And Elijah answered, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume thy 50. And it did. Well, the king didn't learn his lesson, but the army did. If you underestimate God's power, you might find out God's right and you're not. So how does God respond in this situation when we're humble? You know, the Bible says that if you'll humble yourself, he'll lift you up. Sometimes we find ourselves in our life when we've been away from God or when we have been disobedient to God or when we have done something that we know God didn't want. And now we've faced the consequences. We've lost, or we've got the problem that we didn't have to have. You'll find out something. If you come to God in humility, God's there for you. And that's what you see happen with this third 50. The third one has learned something in verse 13. He fell on his knees before Elijah. That's an interesting picture. Captain of 50. He's got his army to support him with all their strength. He's got a sword. He's a trained soldier. He's a leader. He's authoritative. He is, I'm sure he's a strong man that has learned how to lead other men, other strong men. So he's got character of sorts. But it doesn't matter what we've got. God deserves to be worshipped. And he falls down on his knees. He's humble. And he says, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. You think about it this way. Rather than trying to tell God what you expect, have you ever just come to God and say, God, what do you want from me? God, let my life be precious in your sight. You know, God loves you. I was thinking about dogs, and sometimes, and I love animals. I really love animals, and I love dogs, and I hate to see an animal suffer. It breaks my heart to see an animal suffer. And but if a dog's trying to bite me, I'm going to deal with him a certain way. I'm going to protect myself. If I don't lose my temper, and I trust I won't, I'm at least going to do what I have to keep the dog from hurting me. But if you've ever seen this, and I'm sure you have, some dogs will roll over on their back. You know what they're doing? They're showing you the most vulnerable part of their body. What they're saying is, do what you want to me. And that's the kind of dog I want to take care of. That's the kind of dog I want to feed and I want to pet. Now, it's okay. It's going to be all right. Sometimes we go to God and we show him our teeth, perhaps. And you might not consciously do that, but we just think, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what God thinks. And what we really need to do is just say, God, what do you want with me? I'm here, whatever you want. And that's exactly what this fellow does. How does God deal with us when we're humble? It's different than when we're arrogant, isn't it? And so the angel of the Lord, and this is a little bit deep, but this is probably what we call a Christophany, where the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the Old Testament. And you see that phrase, angel of the Lord, in other places. It doesn't really matter. The word angel means messenger. But the angel of the Lord says unto Elijah in verse 15, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And Elijah, he arose and went down with him unto the king. It wasn't that God wasn't going to talk to the king, but he wasn't going to talk to the king until there was some humility involved. And we talked about that this morning. When we've made our minds up, don't be surprised when God's silent. So then, in verse 16, he comes to the king and he said unto him, thus saith the Lord. And he gives him the message again. You sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub. Don't you have a God? Therefore, that word therefore is there for a reason. Because of what you did, because you wouldn't trust me, I'm not going to deliver you in this case. Now, you know, we can speculate, was the guy saved, was he not? I kind of think he may have been, I don't know. Probably was in all reality here. But what it comes down to is this, God's letting us learn something from this fellow. The Bible put him here as an example to us. And he says, you wouldn't come to me. And so you're not going to come down off of this bed, but shalt surely die. And verse 17 shouldn't surprise us. So he died. God's response when we turn away from him, he allows us to experience what we deserve. Folks, God loves us. Most of you have heard this story, but a few of that are new haven't. It's one of my favorite illustrations when it comes to being hard-headed. When I was a little boy, probably four, he adopted me. My dad was in the house with me, and we were in the kitchen, and he was going to make some coffee. And he had one of the big cans of Folgers coffee, probably Folgers, and my memory's not that good, but I know it was a can of coffee grounds. And it was sitting on the countertop, and there was a straw there on the countertop. I was 4 years old, hard-headed little boy. And I took that straw, and I put it in my mouth, and I put it in those coffee grounds. I wish I could remember his exact words, but the message was, you don't want to do that. That's all he said. Something like, you don't want to do that. I think that's about what he said. What do you think I did? Mouth full of coffee grounds at the age of 4. Whose fault was that? Now, my dad could have reached out and grabbed the straw. He was wiser than that. His thought, I'm sure, was, let's let him learn. He needs to experience a little bit of discomfort having a mouth full of coffee grounds to understand something. When Dad says it, maybe there's a reason. Folks, when God says it, maybe there's a reason. And when God lets you and I suffer because we didn't believe him, it's not that he suddenly hates us or he suddenly casts us off. Maybe he's just trying to teach us something. Let's listen to him, amen? I saw something recently that just shocked me, and I can't describe it in detail. But I can tell you enough to kind of get you the idea. When I grew up, my mother and stepfather would go to the bar. They went to the bar all the time, and they'd take me with them. So I've seen what happens as a little boy, 8, 10 years old, in the bar. And a lot of time I spent in the bar. I told some of you, I learned to shoot pool there. We had a couple of folks in our church in Maryland, and they lived in an apartment complex that had a pool table. And folks couldn't figure out, why does a pastor shoot pool so good? Something's wrong with this picture, you know? So no, I grew up in the bar. And what else do you have to do in the bar when you're a kid except drink Coke and shoot pool? And so anyway, I've seen what comes with that. I can tell you this, when you first walk into the bar and you haven't never been there before, other than the weirdness of it being dark, and the reason it's dark is because alcohol makes your eyes sensitive to light, and they're getting drunk, so they want to be in the dark where their eyes won't hurt. And so they sit there and they drink, and it looks like everybody's having a good time. I've seen what happens when they go home. I've seen what happens when my parents go home. I've seen my mother with broken ribs because my stepfather threw her into the side of a freezer, a chest-tile freezer. I've seen my mother call me into the bedroom, my adopted mother, and call me into the bedroom at night and hand me a suicide note that she's going to kill herself. I want to tell you something. The bar is not the answer. Well, so they're having a great time. Let's go do that. Folks, when you go have a great time, the way the world has a great time, and you leave God out of the picture, there's a price to pay. You know, the fellow that goes out and gets drunk, and he has a great time, and the next day he's sick as a dog, or that night he's sick as a dog. There's a price to pay for sin. The wages of sin is death. God's got a better way for us, amen? Somebody says, well, you know, I tried God and it didn't work. You didn't know something. Because I tried God and it worked. Does that mean that everything in my life is perfect? No, but I still trust God. Does that mean that I never have any troubles? No, I have lots of troubles, but God still carries me through. And don't have a backup plan. Don't need a backup plan. What if God doesn't work out? I can't even consider it. I'm not going to consider it. Somebody says, that's foolish. No, Ahaziah was foolish. Ahaziah said, let's try something else. Whose plan was better, Elijah's or Ahaziah's? Amen? What's your plan? Who are you trusting in? Who are you going to trust this week when something comes into your life? And if you'll just stay close to God, and I don't want to say that and walk away from it. If you'll just, in the morning, take some time to talk to God, to hear from God, during the day, pray to God, think about what you're doing and ask yourself, is this where God wants me, and so on. And just give God attention and give him the opportunity to lead you in your life. You won't need a backup plan. Amen? Because God's all you need. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. Yep, at the end of the story, God's always in control from the beginning of the end. When Ahaziah fell through that lattice, God was there. Verse 18, the rest of his acts are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Did he accomplish some things? Yeah, a few. Could he have done more? Yeah, if he'd have trusted God. Why would the devil try to get you not to trust God? Because if you don't trust God, there's not a lot God can do with you. And God wants to do some things with us. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.